basically, what have I been doing? I have like 20 years experience in global health policy and programs. I've worked for UNFPA, I've worked for Mary Stopes, I'm Belgian, and now I'm a senior lecturer and research fellow at the Institute of Tropical Medicine in Antwerp, Belgium. And Jeff has been so kind to invite me, and sort of we've been walking this road of realist evaluation from different sides, but sort of together. Yeah. First, I wanted to, and we were just a bit reflecting on it, on that journey, to explore with you a bit why we came to such a thing like realist evaluation. And I don't know if you know, maybe Jeff has said it, it comes originally from, I think, public policy sociology. Ray Paulson is a sociologist in Leeds, and he first used it, I think, on the CCTV, the analysis of CCTV cameras. So completely different ballpark than what we have today and how we apply it today. And why did we come to it? So around the year 2000, we were a bunch of doctors, let's say, and also social scientists working on health programs in low and middle income countries, primarily sub-Saharan Africa, because that's where Belgium funds mostly healthcare programs. And we were doing policy and programs on quality of care, also teaching it on district health management, on the interface between programs and services. And we were using methods like participatory, more or less, action research, ethnography, in an institute that was primarily biomedical, a bit like here, a biomedically oriented institute where the main paradigm was RCT. RCTs were considered the golden standard, and we had a lot of people, epidemiologists out there, who didn't really recognize, let's say, social science methods. So at that time, we had a growing unease about the methods we're using and also the effects we were having with this. And we sort of had the feeling that we were caught between a rock and a hard place, in a sense, against, or not against, but sort of between the RCTs, which didn't, you know, cover our expectations, and then the very soft, maybe rock of action research, where we were doing completely something else, and a big rift between those methods of quantitative side and the qualitative side. So we were looking for new methods at the time, and looking for methods that sort of would fit our idea of the complex reality we were facing of health programs in low and middle income countries. These was that small mini group at the Institute, and we are sort of 300 people overall, the Institute of Tropical Medicine, and these six or seven were discovering realist evaluation at the time, and I was a bit younger and a bit... And we weren't the only ones. In clinical medicine, there were a bunch of people, including, of course, Tricia Greenock of Oxford and Jeff's colleague, who were looking at or vouching for the idea of complexity thinking. This would reflect much more the reality of what was happening in health systems, the co-evolution with other systems that was happening, and the idea of health systems that were basically made up of relationships in social systems. She wasn't the only one. Also, David Koenig was advocating for this. And the RCTs were increasingly being questioned for complex interventions. But you could argue that the uptake in public health was relatively slow. So in around 2002, I think, was this popularizing paper funded by Canada, which makes the distinction between simple, complicated, and complex systems, which was a big help in teaching about how systems work. We were teaching this to public health doctors from sub-Saharan African countries, and we needed to have an entry point, and this was a very helpful thing. Then I think Margaret Chan was vouching for the idea of systems at the time at the WHO, and you get these important, impressive report. And then also at the same time, 2008, 2009, It's the MRC Council guidance who finally admits that there's something like complex interventions, but not mentioning realists, by the way. Still, certain methods, especially from the social sciences, have found little entry points into public health and into global health policy and practice to this day. So realist evaluation in that sense is sort of almost an exception, because if you would look at QCA, agent-based modeling is more already quantitative, process tracing, these things are still quite underused, in my opinion. You could say that COVID-19 would be a big game changer. Maybe the jury is still out there on that. We're still waiting a bit, I think, for that big game change. But if there was anything that showed that there was, for example, co-evolution between health and political and economic and social systems, or where there was a lot of confusion and a lot of unpredictability and emergence of bottom-up action, then it's COVID. So, and indeed, Tricia Greenock has made this case together with a bunch of others, but still, I'm not sure if we are still already there. But if we look at ourselves, the realist evaluation team, for example, in my institute, today we have really grown from those six researchers who were really in a minority to quite a big network of people that are working on it, that have formed an organic network, let's say. So maybe Jeff already spoke about Rameses. So we have also a small network next to that, and that's something spontaneous of postdoc researchers who are also working together on realist reviews. And next to that, we are developing currently an e-course with the IPH, Institute of Public Health in Bangalore, India. So there are more and more people out there, and it's sort of spreading like an ink blot. Why is that? I've wondered a lot about how is that possible that it has found such an audience in global health. I think there's a lot to it, to the fact that it uses theory and it opens the world of theory. And a lot in discussions in our institute, for example, we had this false dichotomy often between action and theory. Either you were an activist and you were, come on, let's do things quick. And then you had the people who say, no, we need to look at the state of the art, we need to look at theories, da da da. And sort of, realists is sort of dismissing this, because programs are seen as theory incarnate by Pawson and Tilly. And it gives also, and that I think is also an important point, and I hope that gets stronger with the time in methodological development of realists, that it enables learning across programs through theory. You could link what has been happening on HIV service delivery models in South Africa to Nigeria and so on. And you build, towards theory. Now, just one caveat. There are people who would argue that and those are the medical anthropologists. I'm a medical anthropologist, also a political scientist with a PhD in public health, that this is not new. We have been doing this all along, they would say. But the big difference is, I think, and the attraction for biomedical people or people in the biomedical world is that it offers clear guidance and the research cycle is being made explicit. Medical anthropology does thick descriptions, contextually rich descriptions of situations, but there it stops. And anthropology is also more like a craft. It's a certain community, and it's not necessarily that open, or it didn't used to be that open to other types of researchers and to interdisciplinary dialogue. This is an opinion that I wrote down in an anthropology journal, by the way. This is a bit the second part of my talk. And here I wanted to show you some examples of people who have done also this course. So Monica Martens from Belgium, and I think Ibiloye Oluyuwon from Nigeria have followed this course and are currently doing realist evaluations. And Pragati Hebbar, and Pragati is an India Wellcome Trust Fellow at the Institute of Public Health in Bangalore. And I will show you examples from health service delivery programs too, and then also a bit more programs that are about upstream policy processes, which are where one does not really use realist evaluation, in my opinion, a lot. I think these are the key principles. I hope they sort of correspond to what Jeff has been saying. And this is the cycle that we are using. You will see some realist cycles applied. This is sort of the start of that cycle. This is Ibiloye Oluyuwon. He is currently doing in the phase of theory refinement and testing, but he has done a realist evaluation on community-based antiretroviral treatment delivery programs for specific groups in Benue State, Nigeria. Benue State is a hard policy environment, let's say, for these key population groups. It's specific for men having sex with men, female sex workers, injecting drug users, and transgender. And in that state, there's harassment, but it's also illegal. These activities are, of course, illegal. So the question is, the research or evaluation question that he asks is, what are the mechanisms and context conditions that drive successful community-based implementation, and how do these lead to better retention in care, treatment adherence, and viral suppression? This is a program that is funded by PEPFAR. It's being executed with the state government, and it's an NGO, basically, that is doing it. He has worked in that program before he came to the Institute to do a PhD, and this is his cycle. So he has adapted the cycle. He goes to identify the program theory based on a scoping review. And then here already he's saying that he's testing it, testing with the mixed methods design. And then you have data analysis using ICAMOs. So some people use CMO, others use ICAMO. So the CMO is context mechanism outcome. ICAMO is intervention, context actors mechanism outcome. It makes it sometimes easier if the program is really oriented towards different types of actors. That is what I would say. The idea is to evaluate the effectiveness of this program. It's an impact evaluation plus a realist, understand why and how. And he is also building, and that is a specific thing, or a very nice thing, I think, he's building on the knowledge of other programs. So we had a realist evaluation that we already followed from Ferdinand Mukumbang from South Africa on antiretroviral treatment and adherence clubs, and he has used that for the development of initial program theory. So sort of learning across. This is the way he's developing his program theory. It's his graph. He starts, as with a lot of programs still, with a logic model. That's what they have in the beginning of the program. Then he has his own professional experience. He's doing in-depth interviews. He's doing a scoping review. And he's looking at the state of the art. He then extracts the ICAMO configuration, and then he develops initial program theory. I'm showing you this as an illustration, just how it is done. This is sort of giving an overview. Yeah, you can show it in different ways. He has shown it in different ways and backed it up with evidence in a paper, showing interviews, citations, and different sources. The context, the mechanisms, and the outcomes. And the arrows between are sort of the relationships and the configurational heuristic that you're using. So the arrows are very important and are in a narrative being explained. He sort of synthesizes this into an initial program theory, which is this. And there's a narrative also to it. The straight arrows are direct effects. These are the curved ones are indirect effects. He's looking also at different layers of context, especially zooming in. And that is, I think, very important that you select also what you are looking at, what is salient, are the different types of policies and so on that have an impact on the practices of those groups. This is the narrative form. Here you have context. Here are the mechanisms. Trust and psychological safety are, of course, very important in that environment that is not friendly, let's say. And here also it's about trust. And here you see the seed, M, I is the intervention, written up. Now, the phase that he's currently in is refining and testing the program theory with two phases, a quantitative and a qualitative analysis. He has done already a retrospective cohort study on retention, and he has done three case studies, and now he's exploring cross-case mechanisms. For example, there is the emergence, let's say, of intergroup solidarity. So those groups, for example, men having sex with men and the sex workers, are also supporting each other, let's say. Then the next one is a bit more upstream, and this is about the use of policy dialogue. It is an idea to scale up integrated chronic care in three countries: Cambodia, Slovenia, and Belgium. She's looking at how the use of policy dialogue would lead to a better implementation of integrated chronic care policy. Okay? So it's really about a policy instrument and how that would work in those three countries. The sources that she's using for the development of the program theory is a literature review on the role of policy dialogue and also theory coming from political science. So here you get a sort of totally different ballpark, and she's integrating really with political science theories to make sense of what is happening in those three cases. The challenge of this kind of program, or of broader public sector reform or public policy programs, broader than just the service delivery, is that you're mainly very much have to look at those macro level mechanisms and how those interact with other levels of mechanisms at the meso, relational organizational mechanisms, and at the micro, at the individual level. This is quite a challenge, and I think a bit more difficult to do than sort of the relatively closed systems still maybe of health service delivery, although they're not closed. But here you are in a huge thing. Here also, what is she trying to do here? She's trying to identify mechanisms and context conditions based on the policy phase that the different countries are in. So here you also see, I wanted to show you that, to see sort of the creative use of different theories like policy analysis to make sense and to search for the mechanisms. And the idea is very important that you can do things creatively. This is something that she has developed. This is the program theory development. She's using if-then-because statements. That's a sort of practical suggestion you can use to really keep your eye on the ball in terms of causality. And here you have the context, the outcome, and so on. For the refinement, she's at the same stage as Ibiloye, Nigeria. She will do in-depth interviews, document reviews, and also a workshop. And at this moment, she is looking at the different country cases. And what you get in this type of, I think, policy or program, if you evaluate, you get quite different mechanisms, let's say, based on the path dependency of each country. So each country is taking it on a completely different, is on a completely different path. Belgium, very like the political culture that we have, is looking at, or what works there, is a stakeholder negotiation. And negotiation between stakeholders will lead to a better uptake. Cambodia, the experts play a very important role. And in Slovenia, it's patients in peer support groups that play an important role, sort of co-creation. So we get totally different ways of implementing this according to the country context. Last one is the implementation of tobacco control, also big program in terms of this is the control of Tobacco Products Act in India. It's from 2003, and then you have the National Tobacco Control Program. And the idea is to understand how states who have the mandate to implement tobacco control, it's a federal system, it's decentralized, how are they implementing tobacco control policy? This is her realist cycle. She has done a realist synthesis to develop the IPT to look at tobacco control implementation specific for low and middle income countries. And she has also surveyed data that she had. And on the basis of that, she's selecting 3 states. She cannot possibly do all the Indian states and look at implementation. She has done interviews and focus group discussions. She's extracting CMO configurations, and she will take these CMO configurations to the policymakers of the different states to validate them. This is how she portrays her CMOs. So it's all quite different. This is an intervention strategy, intersectoral coordination. Here we are. This is not an intervention strategy. This is tobacco industry interference. And it's sort of a countering implementation strategy. So it's an actor countering the implementation of the Tobacco Control Act in India. So she's not only looking at implementation, but also the counter power. So that is quite specific or special. And the output here are state-specific, context-rich, thick program theories. The issue here, and I will get to that in a moment for the ideas on methodological development, is that she is giving a lot of conditions. If you really go into implementation per state and look at the influences, you get a lot of factors that are possibly influencing. The question is how we can portray this or how we can present this in a sort of way that is still, sort of readable. Now I'm getting at the tribulations. Let's say that we have had a lot of methodological development over recent years, no? People are trying this out since, let's say, in health, beginning of 2000. And we had a lot of discussion on how we should define mechanisms. We have been discussing different ways to look at the context mechanism outcome configuration. It doesn't fundamentally change, but it is sometimes easier, for example, to use this. It depends a bit on the program. A program is different than a policy and so on. We have had some ideas on realist interviewing. Also on the thinking logic, how do you do this kind of analysis? There's also guidance. And also there has been some cross-fertilization with other methods. Also the RCT, soft systems, causal loop diagramming, all sorts of tools that are more or less complexity-oriented and that can be combined. Is realist evaluation, maybe that is because I have been doing this or trying to do this since the beginning of 2000, is it still hip? Is it under the radar or is it déjà passé, like we say in French? It is still a young approach if you compare it to other methods. So it is normal that we are still developing and evolving in terms of what we are doing. If you look at the other methods, those are out there already since ethnography, early 20th century, action research, 80s, modern case study research, 84. if you check PubMed and Web of Science, then you see that it is really still on the increase. There's a steady increase, amazingly, I think, of realist evaluation in health. Let's say 74 in title only, so not the ones that use keywords, in 2015 to 211 in 2022. But, and here I'm trying to critique a bit, let's say, some things are sometimes challenging because you see, and that is only an indicator, it's not showing or evidence of anything, but a lot of papers are on the development of program theories, and there are a bit less on refinements. It's just an illustration, it's not evidence. Is this sometimes because it's time consuming? In global health, we have 3 to 5 year cycles of global health programs. Sometimes we do not have the time. As I experienced myself, people leave at the end of the project. Sometimes if you do it retrospectively, you might not find all the information, or the people have just left already to go to another project, typically for development cooperation, I would say. Realist informed versus realist review or synthesis. There are a couple of articles, and I wrote one myself also, realist informed. Let's say, didn't quite make the cut of realist. And realist reviews, full, it's a small percentage, 416, realist synthesis, 197. Sometimes it is not the method to go because what you're researching is quite new. There is not enough documentation, or you don't have access to the documents. These are themes that we are still grappling with, I think, in the cycle. Different types of knowledge, methodological eclecticism, managing context, and tools to present program theory. First, and that is something that is still out there, what is our position on methodological eclecticism? We are very much in an age where we are combining all sorts of things. Mixed methods, it can be anything. For example, QCA. Some would say, some realists would say, this is neo-positivist, it's not to be combined with realist. But others would say, okay, Paulsen himself would say, realist inquiry is a broad church, and there have been quite successful efforts to combine realist with others like critical realism and pragmatism. It's a question out there, there's no answer. An example, and a last one, is from also Nigeria, also a realist evaluation of a PhD student of mine on youth-friendly antiretroviral services. He is combining two or three methods I will show you. First, he goes from a logic model to a TOC. TOC is theory of change. It's like realist evaluation light. And why does he do that? Because he does it together with the program managers. He wants to formulate a theory of change which stops short from a program theory. Okay, it's one element. Then in a second phase, he goes to a program theory by adding a literature review. Then he does interviews with implementation teams, and then he refines through QCA. Okay, so what he's using is theory of change. He's using also QCA. It's under peer review, but this is really a sort of creative combination of different kinds of methods. Much larger, of course, than realist evaluation, but still, we all need to engage, I think, more with citizens, let's say, and the co-creation of policy is really something that is now out there and the way to go, no? I'm currently working on co-creation and its integration with realist evaluation. It's an ongoing realist review. And also in the European Commission program, realist evaluation is a part of a youth-centered participatory action program where one co-creates the activities together with the adolescents. How do we engage with realists on that? Even broader, but important in global health, is decolonizing RE, and some people have written about it. How do we engage in global health with the fact that our theories also are very much linked to Western high-income countries, especially for policy analysis and public administration? There's a lot that is high-income countries. And of course, we can use it. You adapt these theories. But what is our thinking about it? So also something that is out there as a question. The last one, and I'm almost there, is the managing of context. Context, also wider than realist, is sort of something that came up, I think, in the last 10 years, talk about context. And there has been a contextual turn in a lot of sciences and also in realist evaluation. But how do we engage with context and the effect on agency? Joanna Greenhawk and Nick Emmel, who are also eminent realists, have said, the practical challenge faced by realist methodologists is how to include these accounts of agency in explanations about what is going on in health systems and why. A way out there might be structure, agency, culture of Margaret Archer. It's a critical realist. That is something that I'm currently working on, but it stays despite, I think, 10, 15 years, talk about that we need to analyze context still challenging. So I won't go into that, but I'll end here. Last thing is that idea of building theory, which I find very important. How do we build theory from different evaluations across? Yeah. Instead of always having evaluations of one program and another, how do we link these? It's also a question that is frequently asked by NGOs. How do we learn from each other? And realist evaluation might be a way or a bridge to cross over and to, by using social theory, sort of linking these programs. How do we make this link with learning? So I will stop here.